Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of What's Wellness Podcast. I'm your host, Alia from Alia Yoga, and today I have a very special guest who shares wellness with me in a very special way. Her message of self-love and self-care is expressed through beautiful tools for taking care of ourselves, from taking time for things like digesting our meals to caring for ourselves on an energetic standpoint. My guest today offers specific practices and meditation techniques for an overall sense of balance and well-being. I loved the conversation with Jillian, and I'm excited to introduce you to her. Today's interview is quite a bit different from others I've done because Jillian offered to give me a distance healing that you'll get to listen to, which is such a gift and something I'm very excited to share with you in this way. But before I bring Jillian on and introduce you to her, I'd like to share with you the wise words of the week, which is a quote that resonates and inspires me and that I hope you'll connect with on some level as well. It's unknown who exactly this week's quote comes from. However, I found it from the Instagram account called Source Messages. And the quote says, "If you overwater a plant and leave the base with excess water, it'll dry out the roots and cause the plant's growth to stagnate." Meaning, a plant needs to be watered, absorb what is needed, and have the rest drained so that the foundation is as stable as it has always been. The leaves depend on the roots. Your experiences, feelings, emotions, and thoughts depend on your roots too. Absorb what is needed, just as your physical body does. Release what's in excess. Release what's not needed so that you can be weightless and open to the fluidity that is life's growth. As far as my own healing journey goes, well, it has been quite the process. And on the one hand, I'm very happy to be able to look back at where I was and how far I've come and see improvements, albeit small and inconsistent. But at least now I know what foods and stressors trigger me. And I have also learned practices for downregulating my nervous system and what types of minerals and superfoods help regulate my systems. This process that has been a lot of trial and error has been a huge blessing for me because lately I've been having less days of pain and more energy to take on passion projects such as this podcast, leading teacher trainings, offering private virtual yoga classes, and setting the intention to offer retreats again in the not so distant future. Although I'm not out of the woods yet, I have a couple flare-ups a month and still don't have a quite normal diet as I'm highly sensitive and reactive to certain foods, some of which are considered very healthy normally, but I can at least measure the small improvements and see how far I've come. I've been able to absorb a lot, release a lot, and practice the ebb and flow or the fluidity of life's growth with an energy of awareness and appreciation for the contrasts in life. The experience of high highs and low lows, they mean we're alive and they're beautiful to me. Even when the lows are difficult to navigate out of, I know that they're not permanent. So with all of this being said, I'm so excited to welcome Jillian to What's Wellness Podcast. I'll be right back to do that after a short word from Anchor. All right, everybody, welcome back to What's Wellness Podcast. Thank you so much for being here today. I have a really exciting interview. I'm connected with Jillian this morning. It's morning here where I am, and I'm really excited to talk to you, Jillian. But first, welcome to the podcast, and thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here and happy to share wellness with you.
Thank you so much. So my first question is, what does wellness look and feel like for you personally?
To me, wellness is this form of self-love. And I often am talking to clients and sharing information. One of the reasons that I got interested in starting a blog was because I felt like I was sharing a lot of the same things over and over again. And I wanted to find an outlet to share with more people about some of the things I think are important to take care of ourselves. But, you know, one of the basic things that I often share with people is to, you know, lower their sugar intake and to take the time for self-care, take the time to digest meals. Because sometimes we get so wrapped up in what we're eating that we don't think about how we're eating and how our system is receiving that. And so I think that a lot of wellness is the love that we have for ourselves and the time and the energy that we want to take to really care for ourselves.
So true and so important. And so how does that look like for you? Do you have a daily routine or specific practices that you show your self-love and self-care?
Yeah, I like a lot of the Ayurvedic practices. So for example, using oil pulling in the morning, which is a swishing with a nice oil. It's often sesame oil or olive oil or coconut oil. And then often it can be infused with different herbs that can help support the system and to help to support the lymphatic movement through the body. So that is something that I just enjoy doing that in the morning. Another thing is exposing myself to sunlight in the morning, maybe doing a little bit of movement and some journaling. I often write down my dreams. And another thing that I like to do to help support myself is a meditation called Smiling and Thanking Your Organs. And so in the morning, I put a smile on my face before I get out of bed. And I thank my heart, my spleen, my kidneys, and my liver, and my lungs for the vitality that I experience. And also, it really helps me to meditate and to envision what kind of stuck emotions are there that particular day and just what I'm feeling and check in with myself before I, you know, move on to my day where I will be supporting other people.
Right. What a beautiful way to start your day. Such an attitude of gratitude and thanking your organs. What a concept. I love that idea.
Yeah, it's been really life-changing for me.
So will you tell us a little bit about what you do? I was just on your website and looking at some of your articles on your blog, and I'm fascinated by what you're sharing with people online, but you also take care of people in person.
Yeah, so I'm an acupuncturist. I've been practicing for almost 7 years, and I came into it really interested in this whole shift in paradigm, basically, from when I was in college to taking pharmaceutical drugs for acid reflux and for bladder infections and for gynecological issues, taking birth control and having IUD and working with taking antibiotics, having sinus infections as a kid and ear infections as a young child, coming into this place of wanting to know what else there was. And so the first time that I saw an acupuncturist, I really felt seen and heard and felt like I wasn't in a room with a, you know, somebody with a tablet that was just telling me, here, you can double your dose of the medication, see how that works out. And really having this aspect of biofeedback with the body where I would, my symptoms and my response of my body was something that the practitioner was interested in.
Right.
And so I got into the acupuncture field through working with women that were trafficked and were in prostitution industries, were given kind of a second chance to go in and do a day program.
Wow.
And I was cooking lunches for those women, and I was working under an acupuncturist. And she did these ear detox protocols for people to help them detoxify from drugs, alcohol, and post-traumatic stress. And so I got to experience those ear needles, and that was incredible. And I thought, this is a way for me to bring medicine to people in a way that's drug-free, in a way that we can actually tap into our own ancestral rhythms. And so, one of the directions that I took when I studied acupuncture was my school was very interested in osteopathy and osteopathic healing, which is looking at the body as a functional being with where the structure is very important to the function. And so making sure that the alignment and the structure and the movement of everything was it's something that's palpable. So it's something that we're using our hands to listen to the body. And often listening is a treatment in of itself. Just knowing that your body is being heard, your liver, your spleen is being heard and felt is very powerful. And I got really interested in when I was seeing a practitioner for visceral manipulation. And so she uses very gentle techniques with her hands to feel the organs and help to influence the flow of the body through the organs. And so that's what I ended up moving towards. I use acupuncture, and that's a tool. And I also use the manual therapies with my hands, working with the nerves, working with the organs. And then more recently, I've been working with tuning forks to work with potential traumas that exists in the body. So I work
Wow.
with patients in person, and I also work with patients remotely over the phone or over telemedicine to help address their concerns as well.
That sounds amazing. I'm so fascinated by the idea of visceral manipulation for internal organs. I'm familiar with osteopathy and the principles of chiropractic in regards to the function of the nervous system, but I've never experienced any type of manual focus on internal organs. I think that's incredible.
Yeah, it really is. And if you really think about the way that we medicate, often people will take ibuprofen or aspirin, Tylenol, things like that for pain relief when we have back pain. And when we have back pain, it's really funny to me because we think of it like my back is this separate thing from my digestive system. And often back pain can be associated with issues with the small intestine. The small intestine, it so closely is connected to the lower back and innervates a lot of the same nerve fibers. The psoas muscle, as you understand yoga, is very connected to the sympathetic nervous system. And so when the sympathetic nervous system tightens up, it can cause tension in the psoas, and then that can cause issues in the low back. And also the kidneys, each organ has their own embryological migration. And so the organs, it's kind of like if you understand cranial sacral rhythms, which is basically the flow of cerebral spinal fluid. It's basically like the waves of the ocean of the body and the pulse that's moving through the body. And so that movement through the body also translates into the internal organs, as when you were in the womb, they have this migration that they perform. And through your life, they continue to perform this migration. And this migration just tells us that this organ is happy and it's moving well. And so part of that movement is also the diaphragm. When we breathe, everything has its own movement and dance associated with it. And so with inhale, our kidney actually moves about 1 to 4 inches because of the connection to the lungs. And so the kidney is actually moving about a half a mile a day. And so
Wow.
any little fixation of the kidney can impinge on the thoracic, the pelvic, or the femoral nerves. And then that can irritate nearby organs and structures. And really, these organs are existing in this vacuum, all of them together. And so, one thing can't not affect the other. And I just find it interesting how, you know, when we have back pain, maybe our kidneys aren't moving well, maybe our kidneys are stuck and they're impinging on the nerves. And our reaction is to take these drugs and pharmaceuticals that cause even more of a taxing quality to those internal organs.
And that creates this vicious cycle, a loop of, number one, this lack of awareness necessarily to what's going on internally, but also feeding that negative pattern in the body, putting a Band-Aid over it instead of really looking into the root cause. And the one thing that really resonates with me is that everything is connected, from how we breathe to how we move and how we eat and the thoughts in our mind. It's all connected and helps to either bring us closer or further away from optimum wellness.
Yeah, and very interestingly, the emotions that come up can be something that we can really tend to want to stifle and quell. For example, our liver processes emotions. It processes stress, anxiety, anger, especially, is something that can kind of get lodged and stuck in the liver. And often when we have these emotional things come up and these stresses in our life, we turn to caffeine and alcohol and tobacco and sugar. And these are things that really pacify the liver and kind of keep us from, kind of bog it down and keep us from effectively processing, you know, the emotions that come up.
Do you have a technique that you help people to process their emotions?
I think just being aware of your emotions. Sometimes people do really well with tapping, which is a technique of just a tapping on specific points on the body, on specific meridians, to bring awareness to both sides of the body. It's just this practice of embodiment, of existing within the body. I have been, since the beginning of the lockdown, doing a Qigong class for people over Zoom, which has been wonderful, just to connect with people kind of all over the place and be able to see each other and be able to tap into these really ancient practices, which they often work with the organs, with the liver, with helping to ground energy and helping to connect.
I love that. That's awesome. I'll make sure to get your links and have them in the show notes for easy navigation. So if people want to reach out to you about either live, in person, or virtual health care, or to get connected with regards to your Qigong class, they can find you easily. That's really cool.
Oh, absolutely.
So before we started recording, you mentioned this kind of trifecta in regards to dealing with any kind of health challenge or issue that one may be facing regarding old trauma or even generational trauma, and how things that perhaps we haven't even experienced in this lifetime, but passed down genetically or through our family, how that can relate to challenges with health. Can you explain to listeners a little bit about that?
Yeah, so it can be genetically, and it can also be epigenetically, which basically involves these genes that can turn on and turn off based on our environment and our environmental stresses. But there's a lot of new research now coming out that the generational trauma can transmute through three different generations. And so sometimes these emotions that come up, they're not even our emotions. They can be related to how our mom or our dad or our mom's mom or our dad's dad felt in specific situations. There's actually a lot of research coming out about children of people that were involved in great famines and great disruptions. And I'm sure, you know, in generations to come, there may be some overshadowing of what is going on now, the shifts that we've had to make and the changes that we've had to make in our lives through this pandemic. Yeah. But it's important to address the trauma, whether it's you know, a generational trauma, or whether it's a trauma that we presently have in our lives, or whether just the emotional stress of our current lives can trigger some of the epigenetic things to turn on from our past and cause undue stresses in our lives. And so I think the first thing is to address that trauma and to give ourselves, you know, just some breathing room for that and for those emotions. And then after that, we can kind of address the terrain, which there's some older scientific theories about terrain biology, that it's not just the pathogen that's coming in, it's the terrain, that the terrain has to be susceptible. So somebody who's eating a diet that's higher in processed foods, higher in sugars, and higher in low quality carbohydrates is more likely to contract a pathogen or an illness than somebody who is sleeping well, eating well, and just relaxed. And so I think that often we address the pathogen first, and we take our, you know, if it's a natural medicine approach, maybe we're taking our oregano oil and we're taking our antimicrobials mm-hmm. first before we deal with the fact that our body is going through a lot of trauma or a lot of stress. And so we want to make that just a nurturing place so that we can support the removal and the detox of pathogens. I don't know about you, but going through a detox when you're not quite ready and your body isn't quite in a nurtured place to do so is really hard. It can really push your liver and kind of create this just feeling even worse. I think they call it a Herxheimer reaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or like I've experienced that where the detox is more uncomfortable than what I was experiencing day to day before the detox.
Absolutely.
And on the other side, of course, I feel better, but the actual experience of it can be very uncomfortable.
Yeah, uncomfortable or even a little bit traumatic.
Yeah. I've been through that being a very, very small person. I'm 5 feet tall and very little. And I treated SIBO, small intestine bacteria overgrowth. But the treatment that I was given was the milligram amount that a normal sized adult person would take. And it made me so sick. And finally, I was under care with a naturopathic doctor, and she wound up having my dosage, and I was able to get out of bed and get some things done during the process, but it was definitely more uncomfortable than actually going through the experience of having SIBO.
Wow. Yes. Yeah. We're not an all one size fits all type of
totally.
People. We definitely need our own, which is great about holistic medicine is it sees us as different, as every person that walks through my door is going to be a different experience.
Absolutely.
I need different support.
I love that about more holistic style healthcare and the work that you do to help people from the level of physiological standpoint, but also mentally, energetically, emotionally, and perhaps even spiritually.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that all those levels are so important for healing, just to address every bit of ourselves.
So I'm someone who has had trauma in the past and done a lot of emotional work to try and clear out the trauma and the energetic blockages or energetic aspects that trauma can create in the body. And then also having been a professional athlete for a number of years, I trained my sympathetic nervous system. I was always in a state of fight or flight and probably freeze also from the previous traumas. And then also having digestive issues from childhood, having had a collapsed lung and going through treatments and antibiotics and things like that, as well as having food poisoning a couple of times in my life. So my listeners know that I've kind of been through it and treated from east to west, both holistically and also to the point of having surgery on my small intestines, and yet still going through these types of challenges. So is there something that we can walk through today and kind of unravel some of that and perhaps from the universal standpoint, make it something that listeners can relate to as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to just kind of look into the body and see if there's anything that needs my support today.
I love that. And it also sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, are you rather intuitive?
Yes, I believe it is something that you need to feel the subtleness of the energy as it moves through the body. And I think I remember one of the first times feeling those flows coming from the body and those rhythms, thinking, wow, I found something I could do. This is great.
What a cool feeling. That's awesome.
Yeah. Very neat. Yeah, not us driving a jackhammer or something.
That's so obvious. Whereas yeah. The physical body can be so subtle.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting at my desk. Let me get up. You had mentioned laying down. I have my yoga mat laid out. Here we go. I am laying down.
Okay, so I am just feeling the movement of energy in the body, and like usually the first thing that we look for is like, where's the primary place where things are kind of stuck? And so my finding is actually near the sigmoid colon, which is near the left hip bone. It's kind of in between the hip bone and the umbilicus. So I'm going to have you just bend your knees for just kind of ease of comfort. And this is often a place where we can have grief stuck in the body. The large intestine and its exit is very connected to the lungs. The lung is a, you know, internal expression, and the large intestine is the external expression of that grief. And so often when people have digestive issues, they can have a little bit of trouble with processing that grief and getting it out, releasing it from the body. So I'm just going to do a little bit of a manual kind of check-in with that area. And you might feel a little bit of gurgling or a little bit of movement there or warmth. And I'm starting to feel like a shift, like a little bit more of a regulation going on with that particular area. And you can share if there's anything that you feel or...
I felt a release in my lower back.
Oh, okay. Yeah, often this area can cause a pain in the SI joint in the lower back.
I have a propensity towards that.
The lower back pain.
An SI.
So now I'm going to come over to the right rib cage and work with the liver. And the liver actually, it's under the right rib cage, but it actually goes all the way up into the kind of the cardiac area. It fills up like you're a small person. And so imagine it's just filling up the entire rib cage, except for where the little stomach, which is a lot smaller than the liver, is. But it's just amazing. In one of my courses, we use eyeliner to draw out the organs, especially the liver. And I was just astounded. People think of their liver as this little thing that they occasionally like punish with a glass of wine. And if people knew that your liver took up almost your entire abdomen, like why would you, why would you abuse it?
I get a lot of tension and tightness in between my ribs and underneath them.
Mm-hmm.
And I can feel kind of I sometimes get even muscle spasms in there, and it feels like the muscles are tightening and then letting go right now.
Oh, good. Yeah, often the liver is associated with those muscle spasms and the tension, like feeling like you're wearing a corset, or often pain in between the rib, the scapula, the shoulder blades. Yeah, and often when I'm working on meditations, I will imagine the color green coming out of my liver. And the color green, like you think of it like a forest, like a woods that you're in. The liver really likes to have the flexibility and the stretch and the growth.
Is there an emotion that the liver corresponds with?
Anger, which for women is often not very expressed or encouraged to express.
That's true. I've often felt when I look back on things that I've been through, not anger, but more like sadness for that little version of me that had to go through those tough things.
Yeah. And often the little version of ourselves is in there somewhere, just kind of, feeling scared or trapped, or maybe it's the one nudging us saying, you need to buy these cookies or whatever.
Right.
So this seems like it's moving a little bit better. And so I'm kind of just gonna check back in. And this is the next place that I'm wanting to look at is the gallbladder.
Is that back on the left side?
No, actually the gallbladder is on the right side. It's if you drew a line between your shoulder blade and your areola, you would get to the base of the gallbladder, which is basically tucked in. But interestingly enough that you say the left side, the gallbladder can cause some left shoulder pain. And so I am actually working a little bit with the small intestine and the sphincter of Oddi, which is a portal in which the gallbladder detoxifies and drains the bile. And the gallbladder actually produces bile for the pancreas. And so if we have insufficient bile, the pancreas can have trouble digesting, and we can end up with digestive juices go straight into the duodenum. So we can often have issues with our small intestine because of the gallbladder.
Oh, fascinating.
Yeah. And do you have any sensations associated with this gallbladder that we're working with?
I feel a very subtle sensation, almost as if you were in the room with me doing like Reiki energy work,
Okay.
as if your hands were just above my body. I also feel more energy and sensitive to energy in my hands and my fingers, and I feel like it's been turned on.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah, it's funny. Sometimes the work, when it's at a distance, can be more powerful than in person. It can be quite amazing.
Already I'm amazed. I just started getting tingling in my tailbone,
Okay.
of all things. Is that
Do you
random?
have you had injuries
I
there?
have
It's often
actually.
the common athlete.
Yes, I have.
Are you a snowboarder?
I was a tandem surfer.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I've seen your pictures. They're quite amazing. I actually love surfing.
It's the best. Such a great feeling.
It's awesome. I live in a town where we can go to the, it's about an hour. My boyfriend lives over by the Strait of San Juan on the coast of Washington. And so we can often in the winter or the spring or the fall, we can get waves on the Strait of San Juan. So that's fun. And they're often like, I often don't go very deep in the water. They're often pretty shallow, and we can get like a nice long ride
Oh,
down.
how
So it's
fun.
great. So now I am working with your stomach, which is the left rib cage.
I can feel the shift of energy moving there.
And there's a little bit with a diaphragm that I'm working with, the diaphragm and the spleen. And so I'm gonna connect those two things. And then often I'll connect with the large intestine too. And so we're just kind of, harmonizing and listening. And I think it's just amazing how the body, I think because of our culture that we're used to, where we're not listening to our bodies and we're trying to mask things, that when we do just tap in and listen, it's almost like its own treatment. The body just responds to that sort of support.
Just like children and adults even, we all just want to be heard.
Oh, yeah. And that's really interesting that you mentioned that because I have a little issue with my thyroid over the past year. I've been taking medication for it. It's natural from porcine extract. But recently, I've been thinking about childhood and not always being heard, and having older siblings that were always making a lot of noise, and that aspect of not being heard, not being able to resonate the thyroid, that actually causes the thyroid issues later on in life.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to work with your neck. So I'm going to have you bend just your right leg and then reach your right hand towards your right heel a little bit, just enough to slack the system with tension, but not too much that it causes you to contract or tense up. And this is, I'm working with a structure in the skull called the tentorium, which can cause some forward head posture and often, actually sometimes right, but often left-sided headaches, because the body is pulling the fascia in one direction and the other side of the body is, feeling that pull. And I'm gonna have you start slowly, like extending your right leg down. So this is just a process of unwinding the body, putting the body in slack, and then getting the body to unwind so it can relax. And I feel the energy of your body just really nicely responding to the movements and the encouragements, which is awesome.
Yay.
I often work with very sensitive people like myself. So it is very interesting when I get somebody that's just as sensitive as me, the feedback can be incredible.
So cool.
And there's just one more thing that I want to do, and I think I'll give you a little bit more information about what it is that I feel, but I'm going to be working just past your right foot, so about a foot past your right foot. And I'm intuitively thinking that this part of the body, it pertains to the father side of the body, the male side, and possibly ancestral, but also has to do with what direction we might be headed. And so this could be, possibly an event that happened or something in your life that happened in the last 5 years. And so I'm going to work with that with a tuning fork. And then I'm going to be working just below the left foot, which is the female side of the body. And I'm feeling some movement and some kind of like a circuit of energy moving through your body, which is the body's energy. Instead of being stuck in one spot, it's choosing which area to go next and which area to work. Because we are self-healing beings, we're able to integrate and find our own answers. The body has such an amazing intelligence. And so I'm just going to leave you with that.
I have such a big smile on my face.
Ah,
What a gift.
thank
Thank
you. And
you.
I would encourage if you can, because it's very helpful for detoxing negative energies and things that come up, to take an Epsom salt bath or to soak, and just to keep restfulness in mind for the day. I usually tell my patients, no heavy lifting today if possible.
Absolutely. An Epsom salt bath sounds divine.
Yeah, well, let me know how that feels in the next couple of days. If you feel any shifts or not, that would be really cool to just follow up with
Most
you.
certainly. Wow. Well, to everyone who's listening, this has been such an incredible experience. I don't want to get up.
Don't get up.
And I'm just blown away by the distance healing and your sensitivity and your ability. Thank you.
Of course, it's my pleasure.
So, for those who are listening who want to reach out to you, would you mind giving your information, your website or email, Instagram, and then I'll also link those in the show notes as well.
Yeah, so my website is joypointclinic.com. My Facebook and my Instagram handles are also Joypoint Clinic. So there's all kinds of fun stuff on there. I have the smiling and thanking your organs meditations. And I also have a fun quiz if you want to find out what your Chinese medicine organ type is. So what type of personality that you have based on your organ presentation and like what, you know, kind of things would help you the most. And so if you do go and do that quiz, you will get some helpful information from me on the end of it about how to take care of your constitution based on that. So
awesome.
Great to connect with all of you.
So great. Jillian, I have one more question for you today, and that is, can you share with us one thing that you're grateful for?
Oh my goodness. You know, I'm really grateful for my path, for my healing path. Often, you know, we get wrapped up in, I have all these food sensitivities and, you know, I'm kind of different than everybody else and, you know, not having this normal life where you can just grab a beer and burger and fries and just go for it. But in my path, I feel that my sensitivity has just really made me the person that I am today and also created just this lifestyle around vitality that's beautiful. And in addition to that, my career and my flexibility that I have in my career path is just incredible. I feel that I work with just wonderful people all day long and just get to share space with them. And getting to meet people across the world and come on podcasts has been a really fun new thing too. So, yeah, that path, I'm grateful for my sensitivity. And I hope to share this with more people and more people that are sensitive and are a little bit lost about it can kind of learn about how to navigate a little bit better.
So beautiful. And those words really inspire me because at times I've resisted my own sensitivities and, you know, the more you resist, the more it persists. But if I can learn, like you're saying, to be grateful and embrace those aspects, they can work for me rather than against me.
Yeah, absolutely. Own that that you have a power, that you have a superpower.
Beautiful.
Right?
Well, thank you so much. I will definitely follow up with you. And I'll also later on record like an outro for this episode so I can let listeners know about how I feel over the next day or two. And I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to share on the podcast and also to offer this distance healing for me. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it.
Ah, it's such a pleasure to meet you.
Likewise. Thank you so much and enjoy the rest of your day and the rest of your week and hope to stay connected with you as well.
Thank you. You too. Have a beautiful day out there.
Thank you. Bye. Wow, I felt so relaxed from my session with Jillian, and the next day I felt great. I learned so much from speaking with her and really felt called to experience more hands-on visceral work with someone sensitive to feeling organs and things like that. Jillian was kind enough to send me some names of people in my area that she recommended for manual organ manipulation work, and I started seeing a second physical therapist in my area who specializes in that type of practice. Having the type of sensitivities that Jillian has to be able to feel from a distance what's going on with her patients and work with them is incredible to me. As is the sensitivity that the physical therapist I'm seeing now, who can tell me what's going on with my uterus or liver or small and large intestines. It's all so incredibly informational and inspiring. I don't have any major breakthroughs or changes to report so far, but I'm committed to following through with the suggested number of sessions and seeing what kinds of improvements I can experience. If today's conversation was inspiring to you and you'd like to get in touch with Jillian and experience the Smile at Your Organs meditation, please check out the links in the show notes for easy navigation. As always, if you have any questions, comments, suggestions, or feedback, or need support in any way, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. Get in touch via email, alia@aliayoga.com, spelled A-H-L-I-A. And if something stood out to you from today's episode, take a screenshot, share it on your social media, and tag @aliayoga and @whatswellnesspodcast on Instagram, and I'll be sure to reshare. If I can ask another huge favor, please subscribe to this podcast, share it with your friends and family. Help to spread the word about What's Wellness, and it's a huge help if you leave a review in the iTunes podcast store so that I can continue to share the warm words of the week and read your review on air, as well as offer you a free full-length yoga class video from my website as a way of saying thanks. If you enjoy online yoga classes, home workouts, as well as guided meditations, and for more about what I offer, go to aliayoga.com, where I also have CBD for sale on the site, as well as tons of full-length yoga videos for unlimited use with a small one-time purchase. Thank you once again for tuning in to What's Wellness Today, and I'll be back next Thursday with a brand new episode for you. Until next time, be well.